Father, we love you today and thank you so much for this hour of power, this opportunity to be in your house, to glorify the name of Jesus, to declare that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, and he that lives forevermore. Father, we humble ourselves underneath the mighty authority of who you are in front of your great throne. And say, God, thank you for another day of life, another opportunity to seek you, another opportunity to lift holy hands without fear, without wrath, without doubting, to declare and decree to the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord of all and is coming back again. I ask for you to hide me behind the shadow of the cross and help me to declare these words in truth with signs and wonders and miracles and lives changed. We love you, Father, and we thank you for this day, for it is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Well, again, good to see everybody on a Sunday morning. And nice and crisp and cool. Had some hot chocolate last night. I mean, we just made the whole day. I mean, we built a fire, threw snowballs, and had hot chocolate. So pretty much we'll round out a great day. But, you know, what's weird is why didn't it happen in December, you know, like the 25th? That's when it's supposed to happen. You have to wait until January. But that's the way it is for us here in Georgia. And, again, it must be nice to be a weather person, get paid big bucks to be wrong. Sounds like a politician. But anyways, still glad that we didn't get snowed in like they said. And because I was like, we're going to church. I don't care if we gotta get a team of mules. We're going to get out to the house of God. Amen. And I know some of you would definitely be in the house no matter how much snow we got. But I love you and I appreciate you. I've got a heavy message this morning from the Father that I need to declare to you this morning. Again, I want to thank everybody for praying for my interview with Lynn Liaz and the great reports that we're hearing from that ministry. And we bless her, we bless her family, we bless what God is doing. There are so many great men and women of God that the church really doesn't know about right now that are out there in the cave of Adullam preaching and blessing and declaring and prophesying to the nations of the world. But God has given them promotion. God is giving them elevation in order for their voices to be heard. And I've prophesied that many years ago, that the watchmen were going to come from out of the woodworks. Do you remember that? Out of the Appalachian Mountains and out of the swamp areas of Florida and just places you never heard of or you really never thought of. You know, they said about Jesus, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, absolutely. The best thing came out of Nazareth, the Savior of the world. So I want to encourage you that are sitting here, those that are listening by internet, that God has a plan for you. You may feel obscure. You may feel that you're on the backside of the desert and nobody's listening to your words and you're trying to get them out. Don't worry. God has a plan to elevate you and God has a plan to get his message out. As I was seeking the Lord this morning, you know, he gives me the messages in different ways. Sometimes he'll speak to me a scripture. Other times he'll speak the word. Other times he'll give me a specific terminology, which will become the title for the message. And he did that today where he gave me the title, then he gave me the message in the scripture. But I'm going to read to you first the specific word that he spoke to me. He said, many of my people are playing Russian roulette. They have become complacent, comfortable, and confident that all is well. Many have folded their hands and have gone back to sleep. Foolish is the lazy man. Foolish are my shepherds who have mouths but fail to warn my sheep. They have let my people go astray. They are forcing them to choose between faith in me or the folly of trusting in a man. I'm a jealous God, and I will remove them from their position of watchmen. I will remove their candlestick, and they will stumble by the lack of light because they refuse to warn and embrace the message of the hour. I've called my shepherds to watch, to warn of the thieves that lurk at night and who walk with deception by day, but they refuse to obey my command to watch. Watch, says your God. Be sober. take heed and prepare for the day of slaughter. It's a very powerful word, but it is very much well needed in the church today because we do have people that are going back to sleep. They think that everything is all well and fine and dandy, and we're just going to have a great, great time as we continue to slide into apostasy. We slide into Babylonian reality, and we reject the God of heaven. The title, Russian Roulette, that is the name of this message today, Russian Roulette, because that's what he spoke to me first. He said, Russian Roulette, and I was like, oh, okay. If any of you know what Russian Roulette is, if you watch The Deer Hunter and different other movies, that there's a plethora of movies that had these scenes, you understand what Russian Roulette is. And for those who don't understand, it is where you play a game with a weapon that has either five or six, it's a revolver, five or six shot, and you place a round inside of the chamber and you spin it. And then you hand the gun to somebody else, and he takes it or she takes it and places it to her head, pulls the trigger, and finds either the bullet there or not there. It's really a game called chance. And so the Father is wanting me to tell America today that you are playing Russian roulette with your life, with eternity, with the future of this nation, with the future of the church, because you're taking a chance on man, you're taking a chance on a political system, you're taking a chance that maybe God doesn't mean what he means when he says judgment comes. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We're living in a nation today where people, they just say, well, you know, I don't believe you, preacher. I don't care how much you preach. I don't care how loud you get. I don't care how much effort you put into it. I do not believe you. I believe that these are my best days. I believe that everything's going to be well. I believe what they're saying in the media. I believe what they're saying in the stock market and Wall Street. I believe the sky's not falling. How many of y'all got family like that? And then they listen to somebody like me and they say, oh, my God, what in the world just hit me? What in the world just happened? Listen, I have a message to America, and that is to repent and fall back in love with Jesus Christ. Not just the nation, but the pastors who have fallen away from God, from those sitting in the pews that have gotten lukewarm, that no longer have a passion for God. My call and my cry is for you to come back to God in a stronger way, in a fiery way, and a desire that you say, I don't want anything else, and I don't want anybody else but Jesus in my life. You say, well, that's fanatical and that's radical. You better believe it is. And it's about time that we return to our first love. It's time we return back to knowing Christ and him crucified and to understand the power of carrying our cross and understand the burden and the persecution and to be acquainted with his sufferings. No, you won't hear that today. You have to wait till April during resurrection season or during Easter season before you start hearing about the cross and about the resurrection. But honey, I'm going to tell you something. Without the resurrection power in your life today, you can't make it. You can't survive without the blood of the Lamb. You can't survive without the power of the gospel. You can't survive without knowing the Word of God and the God of the Word. But see, they want you, they want I, myself, they want us to just calm down a little bit and not get so rowdy and so excited. But all I can say to them is response, what do I do with a man called Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who picked me up out of my sin and out of my degradation? What do I do with the one who opened my blinded eyes? What do I do with the one who raised me from my spiritual death and brought me into life eternal? What do I do with such great love? I can't help it. It's like fire shut up in my bones, Elder. It's fire within my life. It's passion and desire to let everybody know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. Oh, if we had a church full of on-fire believers in America, we wouldn't let the sin run rampant like a sewer within our streets, within our school systems, within the arts and entertainment, and within our politicians. No, I think we would have fire falling from heaven in the form of glory. So Russian Roulette is the title of this message, the word that the Father gave me. And then he gave me my scripture. And I wrestled with him a little bit. I said, Lord, really? Listen, I'll preach the same message until Jesus comes. As long as you hang in here and come in here every Sunday and help me pay the bills, I'll preach the same thing he tells me to say. But I said, really? I said, Lord God, I said, you know, they're gonna think something's wrong with me. Which he didn't answer that, but I could just fill in the blanks. I said, you know, and you got to remember, this is all going on in my mind. It's like lightning speed. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. This is. Here's what he said to me. I wrote it down. He said, show them their sin. He says, because they're not listening. Case closed. Yes, sir. Jeremiah chapter 17. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. I had to take two sips. This is going to be a long one. Jeremiah chapter 17. He says, show them their sin. He said, they're not listening. He's talking about America. He's talking about the church. They're not listening to the watchmen. They're shutting us off. They're getting ready for a change of guard. They're getting ready for football. They're getting ready for all types of entertainment. They're getting ready for tax return. They're getting ready for life for 2017. But many are not ready for eternity. Many are not ready for the day of slaughter. And I have to obey the Holy Spirit. So if the book of Jeremiah offends you, you can shut me off right now or go get you a Precious Moments Bible. Is anybody here? Because that's where the church is right now. We're in precious moments. We're in daycare. We don't want to hear about the reality of what's going on around us. But, honey, it's here in real time. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. Except deal with it head on, face to face. I don't know about you. I don't like to be challenged and me not confront it. In other words, you're going to challenge me. We're going to confront this thing. We're challenged today in America, and we're challenged today in the church with the prophetic word that God said he's going to deal with this nation and deal with our sins. And we have to confront this with the word of God. We have to confront it with faith and say, okay, God, if this is what's going to take place, then with courage and boldness, we stand and we carry our cross and we say, come on, let's move into the city streets. Let's move into the city jails. Let's move into the homeless ministries and let's bless people with a gospel that brings redemption and brings righteousness and brings healing instead of being fearful. See, I'm more charged up now for 2017 than I was in 2016. The prophetic word of God motivates me. How about you? So if we've been challenged with this word from the Father, we need to go ahead and confront this thing. We need to deal with the sin and we need to call people back to God. Are you in the book of Jeremiah? Yeah, I'll just keep your finger there. Verse 1, again and again, America, is the sin is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. Please, I'm trying to get this through the mind and the heart of people who are laying back asleep again, folding their hands in laziness and slumber, who think that a government is going to change things for the good. It will never change things for the good. Only God can change things for the good. Only the word of God can. Only righteousness. Men and women who declare and decree that Jesus is both Lord and Savior, only they can change a nation. And how can I expect the politicians to change the nation when our own preachers won't preach righteousness? when our own preachers won't carry the cross, when our own preachers won't talk about sin and degradation, they won't speak about lasciviousness and adultery and fornication, they won't talk about pornography, they won't talk about all the craziness that's going on in America because they're afraid they're going to offend somebody. Honey, this word, this gospel, it will always offend you. Listen now, if that Bible doesn't offend you and it doesn't cause you to change and doesn't challenge you to churn and doesn't cause you to be hungry, I don't know what part of the Bible you're reading. You see, the Bible has been given to us for what? Inspiration, for rebuke, for correction, so that we can become mature in the things of God. The sin of Judah, the sin of America, is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon their heart and upon the horns of your altar. In other words, it is not only in the hearts, in our homes, in our lives. It has been reflected in the way we worship inside of our churches. In fact, the way that a preacher lives outside of the church is the way that he administrates inside of the church. It's the same spirit that's upon him that gets upon you. You better know who you sit under. You better know if they're clean. You better know if they're not touching pornography or fornicating or adultery or any unrighteousness. You better know who serves you. I'm about to get happy right here now. Because I want to be honest with you, if most of us knew what the short cook looked like in the back kitchen. Now, some of y'all ain't going to go out to lunch today. That's good. Save money, go home and make you a fried bologna sandwich. People in California say, bologna? That's southern cuisine right there. But if some of you knew what the chef looked like in the back room, and I ain't talking color, I'm just talking about what they look like. Employees must wash their hands before returning back to work. Really? Can I take your order, please? What do you need? Y'all know what I'm talking about. I almost walk out of restaurants. I'm like, oh my gosh. Pencil in one hand, paper in the other hand, and just write. You want something else to go with that? I almost reached back here. You know what I'm talking about. That's just in front of you. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I used to work in that industry, and I understand. I know what they looks like. Not good English, but it's a fact. And you sit there and eat that food. Oh, how'd you find your food? It was awesome, man. And then you see what made it come out the back. Y'all ain't helping me today. Y'all leaving me out here, and that's okay. I'm going to find a way to make through it. It's a funny analogy, but it's the same thing with your spiritual life. You have somebody who's watching pornography, who's committing adultery and fornicating and doing all kinds of craziness and stealing money and cheating on their taxes and abusing their wives and abusing their husbands and abusing their children and abusing their bodies. And you sit there and you receive everything they're feeding you because they're on television or on YouTube or they have some big ministry, when the reality is they don't even line up with the Word of God, and you have no idea what you eat of spiritually. Because church and Christians, oh, you ready for this, are gullible. Gullible. Don't study the Bible in your hand. Don't study the messages from the preacher. Don't pray to find out if the man or the woman of God is for real. Don't have no discernment because we're so attracted to entrapments. And the lights and the glitter and the bling and the clothing and all those things that we don't understand that we're being deceived. I'm talking to the Church of America today, and you know I'm telling you the truth. That's why the sin of America is like the iron pin in the head of a diamond that has been indelibly marked upon the hearts of our preachers, and it has been not only on their hearts, but it's been placed and engraved upon the altars of our church, and we are so fooled, we don't know the difference. I know I'm telling the truth. I know that I am preaching the truth in this church today. I've told you in the past that my wife and I, we have dealt with large ministries, been in the back room, been in the green rooms, have seen and heard things about ministries and ministers of which we would never repeat. But the reality is this, that not everything that glitters is God. Please get that in your head. Not everything that glitters is God. Not everything that looks like and walks like and sounds like God. You have to have discernment. You have to have the Word of God and understand the Bible. Say, what does that have to do with America? What does that have to do with us? Because judgment begins in the house of God. The sin of any nation is a result of the sin of the church. The sin of any nation is a result of the pastors and the shepherds of the church that allow the same shenanigans to go on in their own homes and then bring it into the church. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. But the number one sin that the pastor's involved in will be the sin that the people are involved in. Because that as it goes for the head, so it goes for the body. If the head is sick, the whole body is. We got a bunch of sick-headed preachers out there today. You ought to throw the bums out. Oh, I'm going to be popular today. Throw them out. Throw the bums out. And if you can't get them out, walk out. Get out of the mess. Well, I'm just praying to see if everything's going to work out. Honey, you've been there 20-something years. Get out of there. Well, Grandma went to the same church, and I'm just believing by faith and all that stuff. Yeah, while you're dealing with the same devil, the same struggle. I know what I'm talking about, but the church don't want to hear it. The church wants to resist preaching like this because it requires, are you ready for this? I'm going to cuss in the church. That requires accountability. We don't have accountability in the church today. We let preachers do what they want to do. We let these ministers fly high and do what they want to do. And you keep sowing your money. You keep going to the mega churches. You keep giving and giving and giving when all you're doing is sowing into their sin. And guess what? There comes a time when you are accountable because you know better. Oh, no, I got a message for America. I got a message for preachers today. Get right with God. Get saved. Hey, that'd be a great idea. Just get saved today. Wouldn't that be wonderful if your pastor fell down at the altar and got saved? Or it could be like that one preacher. I won't mention where because then people start Googling it and find out. But there was a preacher somewhere up in northwest, northeast area. He got up and his wife told him, said, honey, you need to tell him you've been committing adultery. A little hard day at the job, ain't it? She said, you need to tell everybody you've been committing adultery. So he stood up. He said, I've been committing adultery. Told everybody, he dropped dead. He died right there. Right at the altar. Is anybody here today? The wages of sin is death. And there's coming a time when judgment will begin at the house of the Lord, and God will be beginning to move watchmen out of the way so that his pure sheep could be blessed. But I'm telling you, you still have a responsibility that if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then get out of that place. Leave. You say, where do I go? It would be better for you to study the Bible at the house than to hang out with some charlatan or some fornicator. So you're acting, that's pretty tough. I'm calling for a revolution in America, a revolution inside the churches, a revolution where revival breaks out and restoration breaks out because of righteousness is now in the house of God. Righteousness is now in the pulpits of America. Listen, you don't need some orator who can preach the paint off the wall. All you need is somebody who loves God and can read the Bible and knows how to pray, and the power of God will show up. We got to get away from entertainment and personality-driven ministries. What would happen to those churches if those personalities were gone? Most of them would dry up because it was based on a man and not the Word of God. If I made anybody mad yet, because if I haven't, just hang on. It says in my notes to make you mad now. Verse 2. I'm just kidding with you. Said, make them furious. Whilst their children, or while their children, remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. You can go back where I've preached this and taught it in depth. But basically what it means is we are leaving God no type of inheritance of righteousness because we're turning our children into twofold mold, the children of hell. In other words, we are making them worse than our generation that we grew up in because we're not teaching them the Bible. Jesus said, you made them twofold more the children of hell by your doctrines of devils. What are we going to leave God in the coming years? What are we going to leave him as a generation? Are we going to leave them righteousness, or are we going to teach them how to play Pokemon? Now, don't get mad at me, grandparent and parents. You all let children play that stuff or whatever. And I'm not going to give you a list of what to do and what not to do. You ought to have some common sense. I'm not chasing a demon. We ought to have a new game, Angel Mon or Jesus Mon or whatever. Somebody won't like that. You know what I'm talking about. What are we raising? What are we giving as an inheritance to God for a future generation if all we're teaching them is adultery and fornication and unrighteousness? Y'all looking at me funny. But it ain't funny to me. Because I have a job as a father. I have a job as a parent. We have jobs as parents in this church to raise our children, to influence them, to be great ambassadors of Jesus Christ in the last days. To hold the door and say, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Was at a store the other day, and the lady said, man, you are raising a fine gentleman. I was like, you better believe it. But we don't have that understanding in our churches anymore because we want to send them off to children's ministry. We want to send them off to get them out of our hair instead of raising them at home. Listen to me. The public schools cannot raise your children in ethics. They're not equipped to. They don't have them, first of all. They don't have a boundary and a foundation called the Word of God. But we send them out there and think they're getting the total package. When the truth of the matter is, they need to find it first at home and then in the house of God. He said they remember the altars. They remember the groves. They see the sin that we watch on television. They hear the sin that comes out of the mouth of parents when they argue. They see the pollution that comes out of our pastors and out of our churches. Most children don't want to go to church because of the way people in church treat them. Some of y'all forget what it was like going to a church as a little one. My children love all of y'all. They talk about you all the time. All y'all's names are mentioned in my house. Constantly talking about this, talking about that, and how much they love being in the house of God. That's my children. But if they say anything else, I'm going to put a... put a knuckle somewhere. No, what are we doing? We're trying to raise them. But he said this, and this is the sin of America, and this is the sin of the church. You have taught them to remember the groves and the altars. You've taught them to remember the sin. You've taught them by the programs that you allow them to watch on TV, the video games, and everything else that is perverted. Again, I'm not going to give you a list on what and what not to watch and to do, because what is sin to one is not sin to another, and your conscience must be the part that protects you and your heart navigated through the Word of God. We've polluted them. Right now in California, SB 1322, if you're not familiar with State Bill 1322, then you need to do your research, which declares and decrees to Californians that their children under 18 years old cannot be arrested for prostitution. And the reason they don't want it, they said, we're going to take them out of the judicial system, out of the juvenile system, and then turn them over to the child and family services. Let me tell you something. Neither one of those things are going to work. So now if a child is caught prostituting, as long as they do not say that they're doing it for money or they were hired or put in position by a pimp, they will not be arrested according to SB 1322. Read it. We're teaching our children to sin. What do you think is going to happen? Do you know this, America? Do you know this, church, that there are, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but the number is astronomical. How many people are trading, how many young people are trading their bodies for sex, for food in America? It would astound you. But we're so crazy. We're so full of lard. We're so full of laziness. We're so full of pride that we're waiting on this election to be finalized and everything to be finished and on and on and on, and have a president seated in a new administration while the country's going to hell on a handbasket, and we're saying, just wait, they're going to fix it. They won't fix it, and they can't. If I'm a little too dramatic for you, I'm sorry. But I care about little children being violated at any age. Marriage between a man and a woman at the right time. And we're going to have the audacity to act like everything's going to be wonderful. And you preachers, you get up there every Sunday morning, you'll say nothing to your people. You don't challenge your people. You don't cry at the altar and say, my God, have mercy upon our nation. What if it comes to this state and this city? Some of you big ministries in California, you need to start taking your money instead of putting in television time, get a facility, buy a facility, and buy some vans and buses and go rescue those youngins and adopt them. Every one of you, listen to me, in those type of states, you ought to stop sending your money to them and start your own ministry of rescue. We're going to have to. Who's going to do it? I'm telling you, I'm on it today, baby. It ain't got nothing to do with my 8 o'clock coffee, Colombian blend. I like the strong stuff. Is anybody here? What are we going to do, churches in California, churches in America? What are we going to do when Jesus says, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, we bought a new camera. We bought a new building. We did this and we did that. But what about my little ones? He said it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the sea than to offend one of these little ones. California, you're going in the sea. Anybody else that violates young children, you're going into the sea. No, I don't want to hear me today. Don't want accountability in America. We want them to do it in the White House. We want them to do it in the state capitals. Let me tell you something. most state capitals and state governments are run by a bunch of devils anyways. I'm having fun. I don't know about you. I was born to do this. SB 1320. Go home and read it. Go home and Facebook it. Why don't you put that on your Facebook? Instead of all that stupid stuff you put on there. Why don't you start a petition to get them very elected officials out of position? This is insanity, folks. But the church is so numb, we sit back on our thumbs and rear back and just like, yeah, whatever. America's going to hell in a handbasket. We ain't doing nothing about it. Ain't nobody pissed. Can you handle the word pissed? It's in the Bible. Ain't nobody mad. How about one of my favorite expressions? Ain't nobody Popeye mad yet. Popeye mad's bad. Ain't nobody upset. Ain't nobody grieving for the Father. They're being raped and sold out like cattle. And our hearts don't break for that. No, preacher, you're sick. You're sick for not preaching this today. You're sick in the head and you're sick in the mind. You're sick in the heart to not to cry out for these little ones in California. I'm not throwing the entire church of California into the same bucket, but my point remains the same. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ is like. We are more concerned about entertainment and about the preacher making us feel good, about prophesying money and prophesying wonderful futures, instead of giving us the current reality on the ground. Honey, we're in war, and let me give you a plan of engagement. Let me give you a reality of the strategy of our enemy. They are stealing and killing and destroying our youth, and we're doing nothing about it. But we worried about our 401k and our future right well. Verse 3. Let me move on. I got a long way to go. O mountain in the field, I will give thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil, and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. God is telling America, and I'm prophesying to you, America, that an enemy is going to take our spoil. They're going to take our treasures and take our inheritance because we sinned and we rejected God. You cannot offer your children on the fire, to altar of fire, to Moloch, and God not deal with a nation. We will not be great again. It's impossible to be great again. When it comes to the definition and the terminology of great in the eyes of God, to be great is to be abase and to be humble. The greatest of the kingdom was who? John the Baptist. A servant. No. The ideal of being great in America is bringing jobs back and having money and seeing all these levels spike into the black and all these financial dreams. When God says the way to greatness is through repentance. The way to greatness is to take care of the children, to take care of the elderly, to take care of the widow, to go and reach the foreign fields. Whether they're around your block or whether they're across the pond. No, America won't be great again. We are going to lose our inheritance because the greatest asset of America is not your money. The greatest asset is not your 401k or your retirement plan. The greatest asset is not your gold and silver that you got underneath your bed and underneath your pillow. The greatest asset is the children that we're going to raise up for another day for God. It's called His inheritance, His heritage. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe the greatest ministry inside of any church is children's ministry. The greatest. Y'all should have this by now. Y'all ought to know what right or wrong is. Help me now. But the precious ones being raised up, they've got to understand the love of God. They got to understand the love of Jesus Christ. They need to understand the sacrificial price that the Lamb made. And they need to understand that you ain't going to get everything handed to you on a silver platter. You need to live by faith. I teach my children how to live by faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Verse 4. For thou even thyself shall discontinue thy heritage that I gave thee. In other words, God says, I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to cut off your heritage. I'm going to cut off your inheritance. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For you have kindled a fire in my heart which shall burn forever. In other words, we are headed into Babylonian captivity. I know you don't like me this morning. And I know you wish you never would have clicked on that button or gotten up this morning and gotten dressed and came in these doorways. But I'm telling you, America can never be great again unless we fall upon our face and call upon the name of the Lord. And we are headed into Babylonian captivity. You say, well, what do you mean we're headed into Babylonian captivity? Would you just for a minute use your brain? I've always said this. One of the things missing in the church is the ability to be a critical thinker. What does critical thinking mean? It means you need to analyze it for yourself instead of being like a little guppy. Because how many of y'all know there's a worm, but there's also a hook? Critical thinking, what do you mean by that? Look at what's happening around us prophetically, what's happening in our nation. Think for a minute and tell me, is everything normal? Is everything normal when a child can get on an airplane and fly all the way from Alaska, all the way to Fort Lauderdale, grab out a handgun and start shooting people who now we find out has Islamic connections? So much for the Latino connection, by the way. Right in the midst of an airport baggage claim where everybody is just trying to get their stuff because they're going on a cruise. In fact, we lost somebody from Georgia here. A great-grandmother, 84 years old, outside of Atlanta. And we act like everything is just okay. There's no problems and there's nothing wrong. And we're living life upside down. And we don't even know that the blood is rushing to our head. And we're fixing to go unconscious. I guarantee, and listen, I'm not making fun of anybody and saying, you know, they should have did this or they should have done that. But listen to the scenario, because this is a snapshot prophetically of our life. We just got off a flight. We're not even thinking about being killed. We're thinking about going on a cruise. Majority of those were going on a cruise, y'all. And that's what we're doing in America. We've checked out in our mind. We've checked out in the spirit because we think we're going on a cruise. We think we're going on a vacation in 2017. Honey, we ain't going on no cruise. If it is, you better check your ticket again. It says Titanic. I ain't getting on no boat that starts with a T. In fact, I ain't getting on no boat. I don't have no fins. Some of y'all think I have horns, but I don't have any fins. Like somebody said, if God wanted me to fly, I have wings. Well, if God wanted me to get in the water like that, I'd have flippers or something. And I'm not making fun of you. You want to go on a cruise, go ahead. But every time I hear about the cruise, they're either stuck or everybody's puking. Don't forget the guy behind the wall cooking. I'm sure it's safe in a boat. As he's opening the window himself.
But think of the scenario. They're just going on vacation. They're trying to get their bags. The only thing on their mind is about eating. We just got off a plane. Come on, we're fixing to go. And then all of a sudden, the crazy lunatic in which we knew about. This is what I'm trying to get to you prophetically. We know there's an enemy in the camp, but ain't nobody want to do anything about it. Ain't nobody want to preach about it. Nobody wants to put a light on the cockroach. I can't stand cockroaches. I can't stand rats, and I can't stand bugs. I'm going to whack everyone I find. But we allow this thing to lurk in our country. We allow it to go unabated. And then all of a sudden, 5 people are dead, 13 are shot, and they were just going on vacation. And the lie you're being told is getting worse and worse as I hear the story go on. We're in Babylon. Because I'm going to tell you what's coming next. They're going to block interstate travel of firearms. Did you not learn from 9/11? Next, they're going to put military all over the airports. I know you guys, so many people out there are so Trumpified. I mean, I got to get over here in case that camera launches something at me. But I'm going to tell you something. I've listened to comments from people who listen to this kind of preaching and preaching of other people, preach way better than me. But I'm going to tell you something. You're in for a shock. You are in for the shock of your life. You better brace yourself for impact for what's coming on this nation because you think everything's honky and dory. Well, everything's not honky-dory over in Fort Lauderdale for those families. We pray for those families. We pray for healing in their bodies and those who have been. Did you see the people running like crazy? I'm telling you, this is a prophetic snapshot of America. This is what it's going to look like when all hell breaks loose in America and you're in your safe zone. You're in your gun-free zone. You're in your snowflake room. By the way, I should have warned you this would be a panic button moment. Some of y'all know you know what I'm talking about. All over American campuses right now, they have little snowflake rooms that if a person says something wrong, it has a panic word, you can run and go get counseling. I'm going to tell you, this is stupid gone the seed. We've got a harvest of idiots. Aren't you looking forward to the future politicians of America, the future law enforcement, the future leaders of America, that if you say certain things, they're going to go panic mode and they got to go inside a padded room and get a lollipop. I don't know what they give them in that room. It's probably a rerun of Bambi. But just think for a minute, what is going to happen when the big boys show up in America? What is going to happen when judgment really takes place? What's going to happen when we have enemies invade our country? How are we going to act then? Look what he says here, verse 4. He said, I will cause thee, second part, I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. I'm going to make some people mad this morning, but God is angry with America for the sin that we've committed. I'm sorry. I know your preacher won't say it. I know he don't have the strength to say it, but God is angry with the sin of America, and he will judge this nation. So what's going to happen now? We're going to have more laws that bring us into a Babylonian type of captivity with our travel. Does anybody not see the dots being connected, the false flag, or the connection of an event that causes us to be locked down even more? Hello, 9/11 gave us the wonderful TSA. If you like being groped and semi-molested, catch you a flight. Now, that's too big for some people to hear today. But it's a living reality we have in our nation. and the walls are coming in around us, and the enemy surrounding us, and the only way to break forth out of this is to have God send us a Holy Ghost-filled revival, birth and repentance. Most Americans do not know this, and I'm just going to be plain. I don't know how much longer I have. It don't really matter. We're just going to do a two-parter. But most Americans have no idea that they have just federalized the election system in America. Most folks don't know that. Now, let me ask you a question. I just want to educate for just a second. Can we do that for a minute? We have a president who's leaving in a few weeks, who just now brought us into one of the greatest fulfillments and nearing the fulfillment of prophecy in the last 49 years. Betraying Israel. Dealing with Jerusalem. By the way, pray for Jerusalem. They were attacked this morning by a Palestinian driving a vehicle that ran over 4 Israeli soldiers and injured many more. But everything's fine, by the way. And then on January 15th, they're going to have a two-state solution or a recognition of the Palestinian state. All of this is Bible prophecy. And I've said this before, and I want to say it again. I have never seen a president act like he ain't going nowhere by what he's doing in the last few weeks. But yet America is gullible to think we're going to get rid of this joker. We're going to change everything. It's going to be fine in the next couple weeks while they're still making laws as though nobody is going anywhere. Federalizing the electoral system or the election system. What does that mean? It means this, that now the entire election system will be considered critical infrastructure to the United States government. Oh, you'll still have your little heads and still have your little guys in authority, including the state Secretary of States and those different things, but it'll be federalized to where they watch over the tallies, they watch over the communications, they watch over the polls, they watch over the booths, they watch over everything as though it was critical, like the power system in America. Does anybody hear me today? Well, Trump will just get in there and change it. You got to get in there before you can change it. But they're acting like they're not going anywhere. They're acting like nobody can change it. So either they're not going anywhere, or the ones that are coming are going to do the same thing and go along with the same plans. In other words, what I'm telling you is you have been sold a bill of lies by the Christian elite that told you this was the man. Federalize our elections. You might as well call United States Banana Republic. That's what third world people do. That's what you do in Venezuela. That's what you do in Cuba. That's what you do in a Marxist, socialist, revolutionary type of country, is you control the will and the vote of the people. You ain't going to hear this today on Sunday's services. They don't want to talk about this. That's just too political. Honey, this ain't political. This is living reality, what you're living today. What if this man don't get out of the office? What if the prophecies of prophets and watchmen come to pass? What are you going to do? Verse 5, but watch this. I got to go. Watch this. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. Look at it again. Thus saith the Lord. I didn't say it. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, that maketh his arm, or his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see, this is the answer for America in verse 5. Everybody wants to say Trump. Everybody wants to say a political person is going to make the difference. But God says, cursed are you if you trust in the arm, in the flesh, in the help of somebody else besides God. I had a dream Saturday night. Friday night, and I'm not at total liberty to release it all, but I'm going to tell you something right now. I already knew it, but it was just more confirmation. Trump is not who you think he is. He's two-faced, and he don't serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if I'm at liberty to release the fullness of that dream, I will. But I'm just telling you right now, and I'm not a big dreamer. I don't have a lot of dreams, but it was vivid, and I saw it. And I'm warning you to not put your trust and your confidence in a man, in a system. I don't care what happens over the next couple weeks. Now watch this. Cursed be the man that trusteth in the man. Let me teach you for just a second. The word there for trust is betach. You can look it up in the Hebrew, 982. Watch this. Betach means this. To be bold, to be secure, to feel safe, and to be careless. Watch. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that betachs, or he finds his safety, or he finds his security in a man. I'm going to tell you, people all across America right now are trusting in a political solution to a spiritual situation, and you can't do that. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I would love if we could just, you know, flip a switch and get the right person in there and everything's Mary Poppins and everything's chitty, chitty, bang, bang, and everything's just wonderful, man, and we're just having a great time and it's lollipop dreams and fantasy island. But I'm going to tell you something. We have sinned. We have given God reason to deal with us. And a man or a woman cannot change this without calling upon his name in true repentance. But I want to take it a step further. I believe that we've reached the prophetic, according to the word of God, the prophetic written word, we've reached the point of no return with Israel. And you may not like that. Some of you that have replacement theology and you think the church replaces Israel, you're in error. You better get the Bible and learn and read. So he trusts in a man and he maketh the flesh his arm. Maketh means to set up, to appoint. In other words, I'm going to go to man. I am going to be careless of my own security, and I'm going to put it all in you, and I'm going to appoint you, and I'm going to set you up to take care of me. You're crazy to appoint a man to watch over you and take care of you. He maketh his flesh his arm. The word arm there deals with political and military strength. What is verse 5 about? Let me tell you what verse 5 is about. It's about Israel wanting to go to the Egyptian leadership and asking the Egyptian leadership to help them for the attack of the Babylonians. Historically, look it up and read it. That is exactly what America is doing. That's exactly what the church is doing today. We are going to Egypt. What does Egypt represent? Sin, bondage, and Satan's kingdom. We're going to the political system that is designed to destroy babies, that approves of homosexual and lesbian marriages, that allows things to happen to our children. And the list goes on and on and on. And we are telling God, God, we don't trust you in the Bible. We're going to trust man in a system that props us up and gives us security. Well, Pastor, that's just the way it's always been in America. It might have worked back then, but it ain't going to work this day in our when it comes to prophecy. See, Israel was leaning on Egypt to help them. My question to you today, my question to the Church of America is, are you leaning on Egypt to help you out of this trouble? when the stock market crashes and when our money becomes little to none, no value, who are you going to call then? Who are you going to trust in then? Well, I'll just call the FDIC. Really? I'm going to call my broker. Beep, beep, beep. I'm sorry. All lines have been disconnected. I have moved to Acapulco. Ain't nobody going to help you in a time of trouble. Ain't nobody going to help you in a time of need except God. I'm not putting my trust in man. Let's move on. You can read verse 6, but go to verse 19, because verse 6 talks about a sapless, lifeless shrub is what a nation and a people become when they reject the living life of God and they put their trust in man. Look, I don't trust man. I don't trust man that don't know Jesus. I don't trust people who don't know the Holy Ghost. I just don't. Verse 19. Now watch this. I'm going to get out of your way. Maybe. Thus, it's cold outside. What are you going to do? Go out there and freeze? You might as well stay here where the fire of God's at. Amen. My pastor used to always say, why do you want to go back out into hell? Y'all want to run too much. Verse 19, thus saith the Lord unto me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people. Listen to me, preachers and watchmen. Go where the people are. Go to the gates where there's authority. He said, whereby the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out into the gates of Jerusalem. Verse 20, and say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah and all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in by these gates. In other words, stand up upon your watchtower, stand upon your wall and say something at the gates of authority and declare what God says. Quit being afraid of your wife, preacher. Quit being afraid of businessmen in your church that write the checks out. I want to jump through that camera right now. But that'd look pretty funny, would it? Wouldn't that be cool, man, if we just had like the 3D life or something like that? You could just be preaching. Poof. Wouldn't that freak them out? I'll never take Tylenol ever again in my life. I believe there's a day coming, man, when the Holy Ghost is just going to allow stuff like that to happen. People going to be in there just mocking preachers, and all of a sudden, poof. What'd you say? Boy, that's cool, man. The Bible says that people were translated. Do you know that? The Bible says that Jesus was preaching, and him and the entire team on a boat was translated to the other side. You don't believe in time travel? It's in the Bible. The whole boat. Man, that's awesome. That is awesome. We could just be preaching and the whole church could be lifted and we just go somewhere. That'd be awesome. Some of y'all are like, man, that guy's crazy, dude. No, but just sit there and watch Star Wars and Star Trek and X-Files. But you won't even believe a preacher with supernatural what's in the Bible. I'm setting you up. That's why I'm making you laugh. Watch this. Verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves. He said it in the prophecy earlier. He said, take heed. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, take heed. Chapter 24. Take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. What is he talking about here? What's the translation for me today, preacher? The translation is this. I'm supposed to love the Lord my God with all my soul, with all my might, with all my strength, with all my mind, with everything that's within me. I'm supposed to be so in love with him that everything about my life has been hallowed to him. I've been consecrated and separated, and I've been sanctified from a profane use to a holy use. I'll no longer use the members of my body for unrighteousness. I now use them for the glory of the King.
That's called being saved, by the way. I'm not talking about halfway making it to heaven. I'm talking about that's being saved the whole route. Sold out the whole route. And this is what he said. He said, I want you to take heed. I want you to do what you're supposed to do. The word take heed means what? Shamar. Remember that? Adam, I want you to shamar the garden. And that's the problem with most of the preachers today. They don't shamar the church. They don't want to confront nobody. They'll let sin get away within their church. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, I don't want to offend him. You know, I know he's cheating on his wife, but he sure gives good money to the church. We going in the back room to talk with security on the outside. Because one of us is coming out saved. I hope it's both of us. Watch this. I'm going to get out of your way. Just relax. Relax. Verse 23. But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they may not hear nor receive instruction. In verse 24 and verse 25, look, he talks about the promises, but look at verse 27, and I'm out of your way. Verse 27 is the price if we don't make God first in America, if we don't make God first in our relationships. But if you'll not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day. Remember, the Sabbath wasn't made for man. Or man wasn't made for Sabbath. In other words, I'm not in bondage to the Sabbath. But it's relational is what he's talking about. It's my relationship with God. He said, if you'll not hearken unto me and hallow the Sabbath day and make your relationship pure. And not to bear a burden, even entering at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. Watch. Then I will kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. I believe that we're living in a day and an hour that we must, with whole heart and whole lifestyle, consecrate it back to God again. To get the leaven out of our lives, to get the leaven out of our worship, to get the leaven out of our churches, to get the leaven out of our homes. Judgment is coming to America, whether you like it or not. God will deal with us for our sins. Not because a preacher said it, because it's been written. And because the prophetic signs are there. And preachers are ignoring it. I asked the Father, I said, what do we do? He simply said to me, he said, find shelter in me. Find shelter in me. Pastor, define that for me. What does that mean, to find shelter? It means to put everything you have under the care, custody, and concern of God. To put your hopes and dreams in the Word of God that promises you eternity. To not look towards the help or the hand of man, but to listen to the prophetic words of God. Know the signs and times and the seasons which you're living in so that you can make proper decisions in these last days. And most of all, it means for you to get as close to Him as you possibly can. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace today and your anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. For my brothers and sisters that are listening right now all across the world, I pray for a drawal of the Holy Spirit. Not through the preaching, enticing words of a man, but the convincing, convicting power of a loving God. That you would draw them back to your bosom. That you would show them their sin. That's what you do, Holy Spirit. You convict and you convince man of unrighteousness and the loving forgiveness of a Heavenly Father. I pray this now, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, that God would draw you closer to His side and that you would find shelter close to Him in the midst of this storm. Father, I love your people. I ask for you to bless them richly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I love you.